from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Are you ready for Ohio State, Michigan? Not once, but maybe twice. And heck, why not? I can envision some scenarios where it's 3 times. What would that do to the rivalry? We'll talk about that and so much more with our next guest on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in the incomparable Doug Lemerese from Kings of the North. Doug, so happy to have you on, and it means we are getting closer to college football. What's going on, Doug?
Great to be with you, fellas. And yeah, we just got back from Big Ten Media Days, and that is the official launch of college football season. We went and talked, and now they're going to start practicing soon.
All right. How weird was it with how many teams are there again? Are there 18?
18.
I mean, how bizarre was that? I mean, we know about the UCLA, unfortunately, the Deshaun Foster situation, which went south in a hurry, maybe not quite ready for prime time. But overall, you've done a lot of these media days. What was that like?
Yeah, well, it went from 2 days to 3, so it was longer. But it is weird, and that there's some from so far away. Like, even just the idea of you see all the coaches and players who are coming. They send out photos of their team planes in the morning. They'll get on it at 6 a.m. in Nebraska or East Lansing or somewhere close. Fly the private jet in, do the interviews in Indianapolis, and then jet home that night, right? Washington had a 4-hour flight. You know, like, Washington had to come the day before. Like, they had, it's just like, logistically, it's just like, man, like, they are really far away. And then also, 18 is a lot of people to talk to, man. 18 is a lot of teams. And one of the things we found is, like, we did a preseason poll, and Washington was 10th, and we heard from a bunch of Washington fans who were mad. And we're like, 10th out of 18 is pretty good. Like, you have to recalibrate yourself. Like, we're 10th. What an achievement. Because it is. You know, so it's just 18 is a big kind of unwieldy conference.
How long is it going to take to adjust to having so many teams in the Big Ten? Like, once upon a time, it actually was 10, then it was 11, then it was 14. Now it seems like it's an overwhelming number now.
Yeah, I think we all have to recalibrate. Like, we have to understand. We have to redefine success in a lot of ways. We have to understand that schedules really matter, right? When I was going through and, to predicting my order of finish, it's like Rutgers and Iowa have, really easy schedules compared to, like, maybe Wisconsin or somebody like that. And so you start doing things like, I think this team's going to have a better record. Do I think they're better? Maybe not. But if, Rutgers is not playing Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, or Oregon, the 4 best teams in the Big Ten, well, they have a chance to have a good record, right? So I just think fans are going to be a little confused. They're going to be angry about a couple things, but we just can't do it the same way we always did, because in an 18-team league with no divisions, stuff's going to be out of whack. So we all have to help them, like, understand, like, hey, this is actually good, this is actually bad.
Doug Lemerese joining us right now on the hotline. So Ohio State picked to finish first, right, in the division, coming out of Big Ten Media Week, I guess you'd say. So we all have high expectations. They have the most NIL money, I think, in the country, and obviously a loaded team. So therefore, you kind of understand why the expectations are almost where they are every single year, whether it's Ryan Day, Urban Meyer, or Jim Tressel. With all of that said, I've noticed some people get very irritated anytime the term hot seat comes up with Ryan Day because of his insanely good record. Do you think, Doug, it's crazy to have hot seat be uttered after the name Ryan Day?
So, like, hot seat means fired, I guess, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's what that means. So, do I think Ryan Day could be fired at the end of this year? No, I really don't think that would happen. But the thing that I've talked about is, if Ohio State loses to Michigan for a fourth straight year, and then Ohio State doesn't win the national title, right? So you, two goals, you fell short of both. No Michigan win, no national title. I just think it could become, like, untenable, right? That would Ross Bjork walk in as the new AD and say, that's it, you're out of here. No, I think the record's too good still. But maybe, like, everybody just thinks about things, right? Like, what are we doing here? I've always said, like, John Cooper could not go 2-10-1 against Michigan in this world, right? How could you live in the modern world with social media and all the attention and guys like us talking about it? It wouldn't be a pleasant life, right? So I think we may as well live in a world where Ohio State needs to beat Michigan this year. But that doesn't mean that I think it's 100% over if they don't. But obviously, as you guys all know, everybody knows, it's all, you know, Michigan's rebuilding and Ohio State's at a talent peak. So Ohio State really should beat them this year.
There's a lot of talk about how much money this team is worth. And the athletic director said around $20 million to keep this team together. So with that being said, if Ryan Day doesn't beat Michigan and doesn't win the national championship, are boosters still going to be willing to invest that much money in a team that's coached by a guy that can't win the big one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a reasonable question, I suppose, because you really do rely on that in NIL in a more direct way than ever before. And so, you know, it's one of those things. Here's the thing, and, like, we're doing it right now, and it's fine, and I understand it. I don't like the idea necessarily that Ohio State is, like, really talented. They kept a lot of guys who could have gone to the NFL on the team. They have a great opportunity here, and, like, that's like a negative, right? That becomes like a, well, you better win, or it becomes a pressure thing. It's like, if for Ohio State fans who are listening to this right now, Ohio State has an opportunity to have an unbelievable season. They have a lot of talent. Nobody is better than them. And so, like, strap in and enjoy the ride. Like, this should be – but I just don't think Ohio State fans should think it of Denzel Burke and Jack Sawyer and Trevion Henderson and Emeka Abuka coming back and be like, oh, man, we better win. It should be like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. We're awesome, because they really are talented. And if it goes as it could be the greatest season in the history of Ohio State football. Last year, I think, was the greatest season in the history of Michigan football. That's on the table for Ohio State. So, yeah, like, they got to do it, but they also have the chance to do it, which should be fun, because sports should be fun.
It should be fun, and it could be doubly fun if Ohio State ends up playing Michigan twice. It looks like this is now a possibility. I don't know if you'd consider it a distinct possibility. It's something that we played the audio from Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore last segment, that he relishes that thought of playing Ohio State twice. What do you think of that? What does that do to the rivalry going forward?
Yeah, we just all have to recalibrate again, right? Like, I think about a lot of stuff of, like, what would you tell Woody Hayes, right? Woody, hey, USC is in the Big Ten. What? Like, hey, Woody, Ohio State and Michigan could play twice or maybe even three times this year, right? They could play in the Big Ten championship game and then maybe meet in the semifinals in the playoff. Like, that's all on the table. So I think the regular season game, when it's in somebody's house, is still a little more, right? And that's the one you know is coming. That's the one that's traditional. I still think that is jacked through the roof. People are going to go nuts. And then, you know, they could play in a parking lot in Toledo in May, and Ohio State and Michigan would want to kill each other. So the stakes will be high if it's in the postseason. And I just don't know that any Ohio State Michigan fan would turn down the chance to play their rival. So it's going to be different. It might be weird, but is there such a thing as too much Ohio State Michigan? You know, I might eat pizza for dinner tonight, but I love pizza, so I might eat it for dinner tomorrow too. I'm not going to be mad that I'm eating pizza for dinner tomorrow. So we just have to help people. Like, we have to help people get understand it and enjoy it, and not, like, can we can we really have Ohio State Michigan fans like be mad or sad about playing more? So it's weird, a little weird, but I think it has a chance to be awesome,
but
too.
The pizza analogy is a great one, but then, of course, you can also change the dates of when you order the pizza. So if Ohio State Michigan, let's say, for the next 2 years, battle in consecutive weeks, end of the season, then Big Ten championship, would that make them reconsider the scheduling of that regular season game?
I don't think you should change an important, integral, best part of the rivalry because maybe sometimes it could be a little bit weird. So I just think the last Saturday in November, end of the season, is a really vital part of what this rivalry is. You build up all year to it. And so, yeah, you might play back-to-back every now and then. And, yeah, that back-to-back game, listen, the two teams in the Big Ten title game, realistically, are probably almost guaranteed playoff spots. So that game, you know, would be a little bit different. But I wouldn't want to preemptively sort of affect the best part of the rivalry because maybe you could play. You know what I mean? I just think the last game is really important to this, and so I would keep it and suck it up in the years when they do play back-to-back.
Obviously, this team is immensely talented, and the quarterback is one of the new faces on a team that has a lot of guys returning from last year's team. What are fair expectations for Will Howard in his first year in Columbus?
Don't mess it up. You know, be 10% better than Kyle McCord, who the quarterback play was just not up to the Ohio State standard last year, but, you know, they were a play away at the end of the game against Michigan. So be a point guard. They're going to run him. Chip Kelly is really going to help the Ohio State run game as the offensive coordinator. I think Ryan Day, if you're not C.J. Stroud, if you're not an NFL passer, then I do think Ohio State is interested in running the quarterback a little bit more. And so they got caught in between last year where the quarterback wasn't to the C.J. Stroud standard, but he wasn't really a runner at all. So Will Howard can run. I think they will use that. You know, he hasn't played to this level, hasn't played with this talent, but he's played a lot of games at Kansas State. So it's not a quarterback first team. This is going to be a defense led team. And then, you know, they have two great running backs and a deep receiver room, and the quarterback just has to make the plays that are there. He doesn't have to be spectacular. And I think we have to remind ourselves, it's not a fantastic year for quarterbacks in college football as a whole. So you're not looking out there saying, man, we got to go through Caleb Williams or Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa or Bryce Young to win a national championship. You know, Carson Beck is fine. Quinn Ewers is fine. But like the fact that Ohio State...
Dylan Gabriel?
I like the Oregon offense. I don't think Dylan Gabriel is as good as Bo Nix. I think it'll be a slight step down there. They're going to get the ball out of his hands, get the ball to playmakers. But, I mean, he's going to set the record for most college football starts. He's a sixth-year quarterback at Oregon. I don't think he's Trevor Lawrence. You know, I think it's a half step short of that. So I don't think they're going to get in a game where it's like, oh, man, this quarterback is going to pick us apart and our quarterback's not as good as him. I think it's a good year to have a pretty good but not great quarterback because I just don't think the whole sport is quite up there at QB.
And we are positive, Doug, I'm asking for speculation here, but we are positive that Will Howard is an upgrade over Kyle McCord, right?
I think the floor is higher, right? I think a little bit of like maybe take a few less sacks, you know, get the ball out of your hands and just, I think they'll use him a little bit differently. I think because he's experienced and he's been around the block, the floor is definitely higher. Maybe, and McCord might look good at Syracuse sometimes. He looked really good in the spring game, right? They might chuck it down the field and make some plays. But I think Ryan Day, game in and game out, will just breathe a little easier with Will Howard at quarterback.
Oregon comes to Columbus in 2026. Where should they put that giant duck when they're in town?
In your studios. And then you guys can drive the duck down to Columbus. Yeah. Well, they just got to float it on the Olentangy, right? Right outside the stadium. Sometimes the Olentangy, the flow of the river is not real strong. But I think it should be enough to support. It's a it's a rubber duck, right? It's not like a, it's not a duck made of steel, right? So they can put it on the Olentangy.
It is hilarious. I mean, seeing that thing at Big Ten Media Day.
It was awesome.
It was like watching the end of Ghostbusters.
Or Oregon has sizzle, right, which is good for the Big Ten, but they also have substance. So, like, it's so good to have Oregon in the Big Ten. I think it's great.
Yeah, we might be in trouble in track and field, though. I am a little nervous about that. Doug, I appreciate it as always, man.
Fellas, good talking to you.
All right, thank you very much. Doug Lemaurice, you can find him on Kings of the North. Terrific job. Terrific podcast that he does. Always continues that great Ohio State coverage. All right, Danny, how often will we see Ohio State, Michigan play back-to-back? Are we giving the short shrift to Oregon, to USC?
I'm not super confident USC is going to be all that great in this conference. I actually think that that's a program probably going to take a step back. I think you're shorting Oregon a little bit by saying that these two teams are going to play back-to-back every year, because Oregon's an awesome program, and they deserve a lot of credit for what they've built and who they are right now. So I do think that these two teams will probably play back-to-back maybe three times every 10 years.
Okay. Three times every 10 years.
How frequently do you think it's going to happen?
It ain't happening this year.
I think Michigan's going to lose four or five games this year. I don't think that their team's...
Four or five?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
And that might not include Ohio State.
What some of the superior... And it might not be Ohio State. Can you imagine if Michigan dropped like four or five games and then beat Ohio State? That would have a Cooper feel to it. Let's go to Anthony in Cleveland. Next up on the Fan. How are you, Ant?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Yeah, so I just look at it like, you know, the Browns play the Steelers twice a year, and then sometimes we get to play them in the playoffs. And it definitely doesn't deaden the rivalry in any little bit. So I think playing Michigan twice, maybe three times. I mean, just think about it. You play, say Ohio State beats Michigan in the final game of the season. Michigan beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. And then you end up playing Michigan a third time somehow in the national championship game. I mean, I want to kick Michigan's ass right now. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's do it. Three times a year, let's do it.
So does it in any way, marginalize the rivalry?
Not at all. Like I said, I think it might even heighten it, because you play them three times, and these are clearly going to be the two best teams in the conference, like they have been for years now. So it's, to me, that's just what it is. It's going to be Ohio State, Michigan fighting it out to, you know, represent the Big Ten. And, you know, if you play them three times, then that's what it is.
All right, thank you, Anthony Cleveland. I appreciate it.
I think it's so different when you talk about – I think it's so different from the NFL and college. I really do. Because when you play football at Ohio State, everything you do is to beat Michigan. Everything you do inside that building is to beat Michigan. That's what those kids dream of every day. They go to sleep. Every day they wake up, it's the first thing they think about at Ohio State. And maybe that – starts to lessen a little bit as we enter this NIL era. But in the NFL, you don't think about who you're facing for the most part. Rivalries in the NFL are built in the playoffs. And I know that the Browns and Steelers do have some playoff history, but I think that they're built in the playoffs. And like, I do think for that to matter as much, both teams have to consider the opponent their biggest rival. Do the Steelers consider the Browns their biggest rival, or do the Steelers consider the Ravens to be their biggest rival? I would venture to guess it's the Ravens, considering what the recent history's been.
Maybe it depends if you're a Steeler fan where you live, too. Like, if you're here...
No, but I'm talking about the actual team.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, the actual team.
The other part of that...
I always wonder about that.
Guys in the NFL don't really care.
Probably different amongst players. Like, I'm sure Miles Garrett, for him,
yeah,
it's Steelers. Martin Emerson, it's probably the Bengals.
Yeah, that's a great point. And for years, we would talk...
Greg Newsom, I know it's the Bengals.
I remember we would talk about this rivalry on the station, and I'm just like, man, the Browns, they do the right thing and say the right thing every Steelers week, because the coach is like, hey, guys, like Pat Shurmur, guys, it's Steelers week. This is a big week. And then they'd go on in front of the cameras at a press conference and say, yeah, we know, dog pound, dog pound, dog pound, big rivalry game. Okay, can you name any times in the history of this? No. Some guy named Turkey. Like, they didn't know. I do think that this team, I think the Miles Garrett situation, beating them in a playoff game, I remember when that happened, I'm like, this is how the rivalry gets.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Back to where it needs to be. But you're right. Feels like Cincinnati. These guys love playing Cincinnati right now.
Well, it's because they beat Cincinnati all the time. They've had the Bengals number for how long? I mean, how many wins does Joe Burrow have against the Browns?
I think one.
Yeah. And he's considered
Jamar
to be
Chase
one of the best.
Goes on podcasts all the time and calls him out.
He really does. So, look, Ohio State, Michigan, I get what the caller's saying. I get what Doug's saying. Just won't feel the same. It won't be weird.
It'll change.
And
I get that having the game at the Big House or at the Horseshoe, it adds meaning to it. Mm-hmm. But that game's going to lessen a little bit when you know you're playing at Lucas Oil Stadium the next week. It just is.
You mean new Cleveland Browns Dome Stadium.
I would love for the Big Ten Championship game to be here. That'd be amazing. I'd be stunned if it ever happens, but it'd be amazing.
They were saying, by the way, Albert Breer yesterday was talking about when the 18-game schedule could get cemented, and he did say 2029, which is when we're hoping, if there is a new Brown stadium, at least the Browns are hoping that would be the case. So I heard this yesterday on 92.3 The Fan, and it's always interesting when you play the what if game, which is, I think, one of the great pastimes in sports talk radio. The big what if. I mean, we were hearing like the other day, what if Carmelo Anthony would have been drafted by Detroit instead of, who was it? Darko Milicic.
What a pick.
And that ended up going in so many different directions. Like, would Detroit have been the team to beat for the longest period of time? Remember, they were coming off a championship anyway, and then you had Carmelo, and what would have done to Carmelo's career? There's a bunch of sliding doors moments, right, mm-hmm. in sports. This is one of them. But did I hear correctly a what if with Greg Williams on our very radio station, former defensive coordinator and former interim head coach of the Cleveland Browns? Here's what he had to say.
I said this when I was here. I believe I could have won a championship with Baker quarterback. I believe that with all my heart, and I'm proud of what he's been able to continue to do. Todd Bowles is a very good friend of mine, and there's a reason why Todd went ahead and signed Baker and why he brought him down there the first time, because we had a chat and we talked about different kind of things. There's a lot of things out there that about Baker that's not really true. Unless you're inside the locker room or inside the meetings, and why do his fellow players love him so much?
Wait a second. And that was on Baskin and Phelps yesterday at, were they at the IX Center?
Yes, they were at the big card show.
Okay. So Greg Williams is now taking credit. While he's no longer in the game, he's still taking credit for things that are going on in the NFL.
He's in the XFL.
I love this. I love Greg because he is.
It's a great bit. It's a great bit for Greg.
It's amazing. This guy should be doing much more when it comes to media. Because he tells a fantastical tale, and he does it really well. And, you know, if you don't know his track record,
he's been offered a lot of head coaching jobs.
How many coaching slips?
Right.
There's a difference.
13, I believe, slips.
Do we ever figure out the difference between an offer and a slip? I don't know if we did.
You should ask him.
I'm thinking of boating. I don't think about coaching offers.
Boating.
But, Danny, I mean, we're going to forever, especially if Deshaun Watson doesn't pan out. And the next 2 years go the same way that it has gone, you know, recently.
With Deshaun.
And if Baker goes to the playoffs again, if Baker wins another playoff game, man, you know, it's never going to be a week that goes by where his name is not mentioned, and what a mistake it was to move on from Baker Mayfield.
But it wasn't a mistake. Like, you can make the case that it was a mistake to go after Deshaun Watson, but I don't think it was a mistake to move on from Baker Mayfield. Look at how the end of his tenure was in Cleveland. He's spoken recently about, you know, how he probably should have gotten shoulder surgery that year. Yep. And he didn't. If he gets that surgery, he might still be in Cleveland and that relationship might be okay. But I think that the relationship between him and the organization was pretty fractured by the time that season ended, just about as fractured as Deshaun Watson's shoulder was this past year. But I think moving on from Baker and going after Watson were two different things. Mm-hmm. If Deshaun Watson wasn't available, I still think they should have moved on from Baker.
Hold on, Danny.
The other thing that we always forget, we act like Baker went right from the Browns to Tampa and immediately had success. He was cut by another team, and then it didn't work out in Los Angeles. So he's on his third team.
I don't remember that year. Where was he? Oh, yeah, we played him in the first game, and he couldn't. Yeah,
and Carolina. He was cut by
that team.
A lot
of people wore Panthers jerseys.
He couldn't get a first down, and he had Christian McCaffrey with him. Okay, without a doubt, I was with you every step of the way when it was going on. I said all the things you just said. I'm mm-hmm. There's a ceiling on Baker Mayfield. The locker room stuff, which I think now it's fair to say, might have been two versions of that locker room.
Yeah.
There might have been two factions, which is part of the problem. You can't mm-hmm. have that with a quarterback.
No, you cannot win that way.
Baker has admitted he's matured a little bit. Maybe he could have done some things smarter. Like, there is some onus absolutely on Baker. But, man, as much as I wanted Deshaun Watson and was screaming every day on the radio about wanting Deshaun Watson, even after they had won the playoff game against Pittsburgh, I'm like, oh, there could be rumblings. Deshaun Watson could be available. People are like, what? We're coming off the playoffs and you want that? And this is before we knew all the baggage.
Off the field stuff, yeah.
Right now, aren't we in kind of the category that it was a mistake?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't change.
No, I agree. We are in that category. Not moving on from Baker Mayfield, though. I think that those are two separate decisions that needed to be
made. So the Watson thing right now today on paper is a mistake, but not Baker.
Correct.
What can Baker do to make it officially this is a mistake? Like, what if he goes to the Super Bowl next year?
Nothing, because that was not going to happen in Cleveland. He needed a change of scenery. I think that's clear. Because if he would have gone out and had this success with Carolina, okay, I'm with you there. But he needed to be traded, have a wake-up call there, then get cut because he wasn't good enough at another place, have a wake-up call there. You saw him have a single good game with the Rams, and then finally he makes it back to the playoffs last year because he's in the worst division in football. That team wasn't good. They went 9-8 against a bunch of garbage teams, and they made the playoffs because of that.
That is true.
So what would if Baker plays the same on the Browns last year, the Browns aren't a playoff team because of the division they play in. But because he played in the NFC South, they're a playoff team. So I think
he was great in that playoff game against Philly, though.
You don't think Baker would have been better than P.J. Walker or Thompson Robinson?
I think he probably played at a relatively similar level, but he played against garbage all year.
And he is now, as much as I can't believe I'm about to say this, he's had 2 years where statistically, depending on the metrics, he's been a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. We moved on from him, and we don't know where we're at quarterback right now.
He had an awesome 8-game stretch for the Browns. That's what it was. He had an awesome 8-game stretch for the Browns and this past year. And I like Baker. I wanted Baker to work out in Cleveland so badly. I did. But he had a really good 8-game stretch. And for the most part, other than that, he wasn't very good in a Browns uniform. And then this past year, he was a solid quarterback that played against a bunch of really bad teams for most of the season. And that's where a lot of that success comes to. When you get to the playoffs, that Philadelphia team was dead in the water.
He won and he gave him credit, light him up.
But it didn't matter who they were going to play. They were going to lose to anybody that was in the playoffs in that game. And you know that as well as I do.
I've been accused of being stubborn before on these things. I got to say, Baker's the one guy that I've had to eat some words on. Other words I've doubled and tripled down on. And one of them was about the ceiling. But all I'm saying is, Danny, like, I do not think he's good enough to go to a Super Bowl.
I agree.
But if he did, and if Deshaun does what Deshaun's been doing, or he can't stay healthy, I mean, it's going to be a forever thing at that point.
I mean, it will be. And a lot of this is on Deshaun to have it work out. But like I said, I think it was two separate decisions. And I think one of them in Deshaun looks like a mistake. The Baker one, I'm fine with, though.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.